I'm Steve Martin, your host for Unreal Bluegrass. In this hour, we're going to talk to Colin Brown, who has a fantastic idea, I think. It's because I like bluegrass, I like banjos. He has bluegrass trading cards featuring different banjo players. And I think he's maybe got 10 or so done. He's working on getting the full set out. But I wanted to know, why are you doing this, and how are you doing this? So Colin Brown's going to tell us all about it. If you ever liked any kind of trading card, baseball, football, Batman. I had a whole stack of Batman, the TV show. That's how old I am, of trading cards from the Batman. If you flip them all over, you could put a puzzle together to show you what? Batman. Coming up now, Colin Brown. This is a lot of fun. Thanks so much for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. For the listeners of Unreal Bluegrass, I have, I think this is a really cool concept, and my guest to speak about it is Colin Brown. Colin Brown has in the works banjo player trading cards, and I've seen them on Instagram, and I just thought these are the coolest things. So I thought I'll talk to Colin and let him explain to the listeners what's going on with bluegrass banjo player trading cards. Colin Brown, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah. So I've seen these cards pop up on Instagram. It's like whenever you get a new one ready, at least to be seen on the face, people can find pictures of them. And so in that respect, I want to give people access to your Instagram account. Where would they find it?
It would be Instagram.com/RealBluegrassTradingCO, Real Bluegrass Trading Company, but just CO for the word company.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so tell the audience what we're talking about here. I've seen them. I think they're cool. They're really neat pieces of art, but tell me how you come up with this trading card concept for banjo players, and why banjo players?
Well, I started learning banjo about 4 years ago, and so I've always been I've loved the instrument. My dad played the banjo growing up. We went to bluegrass festivals, so I've always wanted to play my whole life, and about 4 years ago, I finally decided to start learning, and I started learning about different banjo players that have inspired me to keep going, and just feeling really inspired by the different players coming up that I'm learning about. And I was starting to become friends with a bunch of banjo players on Facebook, and it just dawned on me that there was something about them all in one place on my feed that made me think. It just, something popped into my head about trading cards for some reason. To be honest, I don't know exactly.
Well, it's a neat idea, and people more my age, I don't know how old you are. I don't think you're anywhere near my age, just from your appearance that I see and the sound of your voice. But you know, we had baseball trading cards, and on the back of, you have a picture of your, you know, Pete Rose or whatever. I'm from the Cincinnati area, and on the back you could see their rookie card stats, and mm-hmm. So that's what it occurs to me, and there'd be a piece of this miserable, awful chewing gum in it, which as a kid you loved it. It was really horrible, like cardboard. But I cut you
and
off.
It stained the card.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So tops stopped chewing gum because it stained the card.
Oh, good.
But the funny
thanks.
Thing is, I've never been a trading card enthusiast. So I don't
really.
So I've never. The trading card concept is completely new to me.
I hear,
but I do like. I do like art. I have an graphic design background, art background. My mom's an artist. My wife's an artist. And then I have musicians on my dad's side. My dad was a banjo player. So it just sort of all came together in that way. And, you know, I do appreciate art. And just something about me learning about banjo players, I thought maybe trading cards would be a good way for others to learn.
I think it's a great idea. I kept seeing these things on Instagram, and I thought, and the cool thing about it is, and I want you to talk about your banjo playing, how it started. We'll get into that. I want to talk about your graphic art and what you do with that. But I also want to talk about all these. These are not identical stylistically. They're different. Pictures, drawings, art of the different banjo players as I see them. There's some of them are a little different than the others. I want to understand why they don't follow the same sort of a form. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good question. I started out with the idea that I would have a single artist. Well, that was the first thing, was I needed to find an artist to work with. I do graphic design, but I'm not a portrait artist, and I wasn't going to try to do that myself. I mean, I had one approach where I could take just the photos of the players and just do some Photoshop work with it or something, style them up a little bit in Photoshop and use those. But I knew in the back of my mind that I didn't want to do that for the trading cards, because it just seems like that's just done all the time. You just have, you stick a photo on it and put a bio on the back, and it just feels a little like cheap. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted something really unique. So I was on the lookout for an artist to help me, and it took me a couple months to kind of really find one that I liked. One popped up on my Facebook feed through a friend of mine, and her artwork really stood out to me. Her name was Georgina Flood. She's out of Dublin, Ireland, in fact.
Wow.
And
it's neat that you could pick up on someone in Dublin nowadays and have those things all come together. That just blows my mind. But I'm talking to Colin Brown, if you're just tuning in, and we're talking about his banjo, bluegrass banjo player trading cards. Go ahead. You contacted an artist?
Uh-huh. So I reached out to her, and my intent was that I was just going to use one artist. And like you said, stylistically, it would have just been one sort of portrait style throughout all cards. And when I say all cards, my initial intention was to do maybe 24 max cards.
Okay.
I'll talk later about how I changed my mind.
Yeah,
Sticking with the story with Georgina's, I don't know if it was a combination of bandwidth, her bandwidth, and although she had the bandwidth to do all the cards, but just something struck me as reaching out to other, that I needed to reach out to other artists, especially artists in my area in Knoxville, Tennessee. I thought that would be pretty special to be able to help. Help is not the right word, but support. That's the word. I wanted to be able to support local artists as well. So having a different, I thought including more artists would actually be better for the project as a whole, just to kind of widen the scope of the team, so to speak, and kind of get more people involved.
Colin, it kind of gives you, if I go to a concert and I'm at a concert with a lot of different artists performing and the volume stays the same, at some point you sort of turn off in your mind, your ears get tired, let's put it that way. I think if every card has the same style, at some point they just become backs of cards. So I think it's good that, from what I've seen, that you have different styles, because I think it'll make it, you know, more, it'll pull you in more if it looks this way for Don Reno, looks this way for somebody else. I think it's a great idea, and plus your motivation for it is great, that you want to spread out the artwork.
Yeah, thanks. And that's kind of where I was going. And one artist turned into two artists, turned into five, and now I'm working with 10.
Wow.
10 different artists.
What was the first card that you had? What would be the front of? What was the first artist the first banjo player that you had as a card?
Well, can you take a guess?
I would say Earl, maybe. I don't know.
Earl Scruggs. Yep.
I'm just pulling names out of the air here.
Yeah. Earl, you got it. Earl Scruggs. And then Earl Scruggs, and then who did I pick second? Well, I had a banjo teacher. And he's still a friend and banjo teacher of mine, Mike Sumner. He's a Nashville professional musician around Nashville.
Okay.
And so he's a teacher, educator, you know, he's been playing for, probably 30, almost 40 years maybe, since he was 11. But I thought, well, he's my teacher. I know who he is. I can talk to him.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, I didn't know any of the – I didn't know – obviously, I don't know Earl Scruggs, but any of the players that I intended to include in my series, I didn't know any of them. Why would they give me the time of the day? I don't know. At that time, I had zero confidence in that kind of reaching out and stuff. So I got Mike Sumner involved. Had him on, in the series in the beginning. With Georgina started on his portrait, and then I had previously had contact with Carl Jackson.
Yeah.
On unrelated topic, I was talking to him about something from an album he did with Jim and Jesse through Facebook. And I thought, I have been in touch with him already, so maybe it'll be easy to reach out to him around the series. And when I asked him to, if he would like to participate, he jumped on it immediately. He was very thrilled.
The best kept secret of banjo players. Now I will say this: I play banjo, off and on, and I have a very pedestrian skill level, and it rises on how much I practice and drops on how much I don't. But Carl Jackson is one of the best banjo players I've ever seen or heard anywhere.
Blows me away. Yeah, I mean, the work he did. Even a lot of people don't really recognize, at least in my circles, don't recognize his work with Jim and Jesse.
Yeah,
they mostly
yeah.
recognize him for his work with Glenn Campbell and, that was Georgina was doing a lot of that work in the beginning. And then when I started reaching out to other, artists, the first one I reached out to here in Knoxville was, Kara Lockmiller. She's a local, or she does a lot of, musician portraits, usually like country or even bluegrass portraits, and they're very colorful. I don't know how to describe them. They're kind of a little bit abstract, but very colorful. And she's done like Dolly Parton. I think she's done murals, and she's quite prolific within the Knoxville area, I think.
Okay.
So I started with her, and then she recommended another artist in this area, so I reached out to him, and that was Robert Felker. He did Bill Keith's portrait.
I saw that one. That's great.
He does that it's not a regular painting. It's little pieces of paper, just composite. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a great image. I just saw it the other day. I don't know how often. How often do you post new ones as they are, exist? Because I've seen, how many have I seen then on Instagram? What, 10, 12? What?
Yeah, I probably have posted, I think we're nearing just about all of them.
Yeah, okay.
So, just roughly. And I mentioned that I started out with the idea of doing 24, but now I'm up to 42. So this started out really as something I was just going to do on the side, maybe produce, up to 24 cards and maybe produce them on my inkjet printer and then laminate them or something,
Okay, yeah.
But since then I've been in touch with a professional printer who would print them out on, cardstock and give me all the packaging and the wrappers and everything professionally done. So
you're going to wrap them in wax paper.
No.
Let me ask you this. It seems to me in the back of my mind, I remember, I'm talking to Colin Brown, if you're just tuning in, about the banjo trading cards that he's putting out. Robert Crumb, I think, years ago, did a collection of blues artists. Am I right on that?
Yes, he did. And I think there was a second set, if I'm not mistaken. I think they were slightly similar, but there's blues artists, and then there's old, like country,
yeah.
I wouldn't call it bluegrass, but like the old, so, yeah, the old player.
Yeah. So for some reason, it flashed in my mind, and Robert Crumb is a real famous cartoonist, and people can look him up for their own worth. But I just thought those are really cool. So this thing that you're doing reminds me of that quality, and so you get the front, and how are you filling in the back as far as the information? There's no batting average. So what kind of biographical information are you including?
I'm trying to keep it casual and not so like statistics based. Like, in the back of a card, you might have, bullet points, when they were born and such. But I'm going for more of a, you know, just a nice small little paragraph that sort of defines their career in like one or two sentences.
That's great. That's great.
Which is actually been one of the most difficult parts of this.
Well, that's what I was getting up to, is how are you able to cut it down? Because so many of these artists have so much life and so much history. I mean, I guess if you can squeeze Earl Scruggs onto the back of a card, you can squeeze anybody on there. But, I mean, there's so much great history. And the music and the times they lived through of that vintage, it just, you know, I think
it
would be difficult.
What it comes down to is you're going to have to let something go. And you're going to have to think about it in terms of, okay, these are banjo cards. There's a lot of multi-instrumentalist players, Carl Jackson, you know, and who have gone on to do many things that are not specific to the banjo. And so it's really a matter of, okay, how can we tailor it to be more for, you know, the banjo side of their career. And, you know, I was just talking to Butch Robbins today and about his bio, and we've gone back and forth, and very happy to work with him on kind of whittling it down to the, you know, to the bare essentials as far as his banjo career, you know. But it's a fun challenge, but it is difficult.
From my memory, I didn't check these out on your Instagram account before we talked, but over the time I've seen Ned Lubarecki, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Kristen. I've seen Nick Hornbuckle.
Kristen Scott Benson.
Yeah, I've seen Nick Hornbuckle, who is a great player that's been on this. Well, all those people have been on the show, but I'm glad you're including Nick. He's in the Northwest, and my feeling is people forget what an incredible talent that he is. So I was so glad to see Nick's come up there.
Yeah, I've been following him for a couple of years, even before this trading cards.
Mm.
He was kind of an unknown. A lot of people haven't heard of him. In fact, several of the players, top players in my cards, haven't heard of him. And when I tell them about Nick, they're so surprised and amazed at his skill, just how beautifully he plays. And by the way, he's not a three-finger player. He's a two-finger player. Thumb and index.
Yeah.
And the way that he pulls that off. No pun intended. it comes out really nice.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a combination of like claw hammer. You know, when with claw hammer, your fret work has to be a little bit more intricate, a little more comprehensive. I don't know what the right word is, but
I know what you're trying to say.
Yeah. So with him, he's compensating, I guess, with one less, you know, finger by using more fret work.
Nick,
it just comes out very pretty.
It's beautiful. Beautiful. Nick is, I think of John Reichman and the band.
Yeah.
So if you follow bands, but they're so far northwest, and I think actually Nick is probably in Canada or right nearby to where
he is.
You can't see the border anymore before the ice and snow. But Nick was on this program when his last album came out. Great, great, very intelligent guy. And every show that I end with on Unreal Bluegrass, I always acknowledge his contributions to the program. Nick did a great two-finger version of Don't Dream It's Over. And
I opened
the show with a tune that was written for the show called Pick Piece from Tom Utes and Myla Miller. Then I dropped in Nick's beautiful version of Don't Dream It's Over as I kind of introduced the show. It's like my music bed for as I get up. But I just every show that plays every time I play his music. He's just I'm so glad that you're reaching out that far and pulling in those great players. This sounds like a blast. I love the photographs. I love the idea. Well, let me ask you this then: how and when would they be available? It sounds like you're still sort of in the developing, but I want to let people know how they can find them and when they'll know that these things are available to be purchased.
Well, they're available to be purchased now, but under quote-unquote pre-order.
Oh, okay.
So you can go to my website and pre-order them. The pre-ordering is through the end of February, March 1st time frame. Pre-ordering gives you a discount, pretty steep discount.
Okay.
And then we are shipping in April. I'm not exactly – the start date of April depends really on when.
It'll be like opening day. Just be like baseball's opening day,
the
beginning of April. Yeah, so here you get your trading cards for your banjo players.
I don't know if that's just a coincidence.
I'm
or
sure.
I don't think
there are any.
Brain.
There's no coincidences. This happened because of baseball opening day. I'm going to just go with that story.
Like I just did that subconsciously.
Yeah, that's it.
Like trading cards, springtime. Okay, got it.
This is such a great. I've loved every one of these that I've seen on Instagram. And when you mention your website being available for pre-order, I know that we mentioned the name of your company, but is how would they find the website again? I want to leave letting people know how they can find and pre-order these if they want to.
Sure. The company that I've set up is called Bluegrass Trading Company, URL that I gave. So it's bluegrasstradingco.com.
Great. And, you know, if they want to.
And then from there, you can find my Facebook page.
Okay.
You can go to my Instagram page, and then you can also sign up for newsletters. So all three of those channels will allow you to stay updated on what's going on.
You know, and as soon as they come out, someone's going to say, why didn't you have this person? Why didn't you? You know, it's going to happen. So you're going to have to follow.
Well, that's been happening for the last 3 months.
Oh, has it really already?
The day when I first started, I was thinking, I'll just keep it all a secret. Like when I started working on this, I was convinced that I was going to keep it all a secret and not tell anybody until I actually deliver them. But I felt like I don't have enough marketing skill to pull that off. And the best marketing to me is just letting people know who's involved, because the players who are involved and the artists who are involved like to share this stuff.
Yeah.
And so, honestly, that's the only reason why it's gotten this far is because the musicians and the artists have all shared this on their social media,
yep.
And that's really done wonders for
I've
me.
Seen so. That. I've seen them, and I've seen them. We mentioned Instagram, and I contacted you through Facebook, through your page there, just to send a message and say, let's talk about this because it's just really interesting to me, and I like to do good things for the audience and for the artists, and you're one of those artists that maybe someday will. So let me ask you about your playing. Did your playing start with a teacher, or did you start from a book, or did you start by ear, or did your dad tell you things years ago?
Well, when I was about 11, I grew up going to bluegrass festivals every weekend almost. My dad was, a banjo player in a few bands in the Southwest. We grew up in the Southwest. He's from Philadelphia, and a lot of his banjo career when he was younger is in the Northeast with guys like Pete Wernick.
Oh gosh.
Winnie Winston,
yeah.
Bill Keith, those guys, he hung around with all those guys. He won the 1965 Philadelphia Folk Fest banjo contest.
Oh, man.
And I think Steve Arkin won the 1964. Steve Arkin came in like second in 65, so my dad even beat Steve Arkin. And that contest was judged by Bill Keith. So
I think
that's a pretty good
statement. We've talked about your dad, and you said my dad, but we haven't said his name.
Oh, Ken Brown.
Ken Brown. All right.
He went by Kenny Brown back then. So if anyone is around who knew him, you'll probably remember him by the name Kenny Brown.
Okay, good.
But in the Southwest, where I grew up, we were doing bluegrass festivals, and I've always loved the banjo, I really wanted to play. And I asked him to teach me how to play. He made it look really easy, of course. And I thought, I could do that. And he started teaching me, and I quickly realized the mountain that I would have had to climb, in order to get to his level. And it just didn't. At 11 years old, I just thought, there's just no way. I didn't think I had it in me, so I gave up.
Yeah.
And that always bothered me that I gave up. And I got to be about 40. I'm 48 now, but when I was about 3 or 4 years ago, I started. I just realized, you know what? I'm just going to do it.
Do it.
I don't care what anybody says, because that was part of my worry, is that I would start playing and everyone would compare me to my dad.
No.
You know, I didn't want that. I had too much of an ego. And now I don't have an ego, so I said, screw it.
Well, that's good, though. Yeah, play for yourself. I kind of sometimes get in that trap. This interview is not about me, but let me tell you, I I get to where I want to be really good, and I want to be really good, and I really, and then I realize I never will be Alan Mundy. I'll never be Sonny Osborne. I'll never be, but I can be myself and play and have fun and sit with friends
right.
and play. I'm not going to ever be a professional. Like I told you at the beginning, I go from when I play a lot. Guess what? I'm better. When I don't play a lot, I'm not as good. So I got to keep on that. But yeah, just play and have fun. It's a blast. I mean, you meet some pretty cool people as you already have.
And you,
so.
And I do want to mention that the one player I think who's online that had the biggest impact on me at that time period, as it got me broke the ice for me is Jim Pankey.
Oh yeah,
Jim
sure.
Pankey is. Okay, he's also on my in my cards.
Okay.
I've added him as a player, as an all-star. And I knew from the very beginning that I wanted him. He's always been an inspiring figure for me. But he definitely broke the ice for me back in, 2017. Yeah, 2017
oh,
is
cool.
when I started.
All right.
And so that's how I got started, was watching Jim Pankey videos.
This is all very exciting stuff. I'm really happy happy for what you're doing. I can't wait to order my own set and have them and flip them against the building. Or one thing I will never do, because I don't ride a bike anymore, is I won't stick them in the spokes of my bike. That much I will promise you. When I get mine, I'll keep them, and I don't think I'll trade them with anybody, but I can't wait to see them. And I'm going to tell you right now, whether you know it or not, there's going to be a volume 2, so to speak. You're going to have to do another one.
Yeah, ironically, I think I'm going to be using them as banjo mutes. You can put them in your banjo strings, and it'll dampen.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Well, you can come with suggested uses. We can put up on your website suggested uses. All right. Hey, listen, man. Thanks for your time. I love this thing that you're doing, and I'm so glad you were available. And I'll let you go, Colin. You can go back to getting some more graphic art and some more. That must be the hardest part, is getting the bio and everything matching. And if the players are still around, of course you want them to be happy, like you said with Butch Robbins, with the content on the back of the card. So you got to walk that line and make sure everybody's happy with that information. So, well, listen, man, thanks a lot. Good luck to you, and I can't wait till these things come out. And we will. I'll talk to you later once I get a hold of them. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
All right.
It's been awesome.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
All right.
I really enjoyed that concept. He's going gangbusters. Since we talked, he's added more and more playing cards, bluegrass banjo playing cards. It's going to just grow and grow and grow. The more people learn about it, and you're learning about it now, and maybe if you know a banjo player of some renown, you could suggest it to Colin, and maybe he can find a way to get him on there and get that bio info on the back. If you are like me, and I mentioned during our discussion, baseball cards, football cards, when you were a child, those were important things, and you bought them with that nasty little cardboard-like chewing gum. I know for a fact that Sam Bush is from Kentucky. He's from Bowling Green. Bowling Green is one of those very long east-to-west states. When you're in Bowling Green, you're pretty close to being in St. Louis. And if you go a little further, I'm sure all of your media influence is from the St. Louis area. And so you wind up being Cardinal fans, which is great. Great team. I know that Sam Bush is a big Cardinal fan. And I knew he was in love with Ozzie Smith, and he proved it with the Wizard of Oz. This, I know, was the trading card that Sam held dearly. Thanks for listening to Unreal Bluegrass. Thank you, Colin Brown.